I don't know if you ever have paid a visit to someone and they are lonely or they're in need of a visit, or you have somebody in your family that you feel like, I haven't seen this person for a while. I'm sure you've had people in your own life who have come to visit you time to time, maybe out of the blue. We used to, I remember when I was a little boy, we used to have people like that. It turned out that they were actually cousins of my mom. And they would come and they would show up and they would be so nice, you know, and they were very interested in me. And I was rather shy at that time. So, you know, when they came, I was a little bit surprised, you know, and as the years went on, those visits of those people to our house and just coming to visit my parents and to spend a short time with us and were filled with love. There's different ways that God uses us to show love. It could be just a visit for 5 minutes to someone, and it could be like I just said, you know, just going to asking someone, can I stop by and just visit with you, and talk with you, and those kind of memories remain with us, and they help us to appreciate our lives and the people in our lives, and also to teach us what we can do for other people as well. And these verses here are filled with words that we can share during those visits. You know, if you are interested in going with me to visit people, you can let me know and we can go together. But if you also have an opportunity and you feel like, you know, I want to make this more purposeful to make a difference and show God's love to people, I'm going to think of someone in the church, or I'm going to think of someone in my life who I need to connect with, and just ask them if you could stop by for a short visit, and then prepare a word from here, right? I was thinking when Susan was reading those words at the beginning, and also here when she read it for the scripture reading, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, for I am with you, right? You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. Right? So all these things of Jesus coming to them, you are coming with the Holy Spirit that we're learning about today. You're going in the name of Jesus, and you're representing the Father's love, and that love comes through you, through the Holy Spirit that lives in you, to bless people. It's that simple. It's really that simple. And that's the word for this sermon today. I want to try to keep it simple, because there's so many things that we could think about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. But I really have one word from God that I want to share with you, that I want to make sure that I reemphasize over and over again. I think it's because it's in the Word that we have today, that God's love is given to us through the Holy Spirit. And we want to share that love. Love is the most important thing in life. There's nothing greater. And we are made to love, right? Not to keep it to ourselves, but to share. And you have your own way that you have been blessed with, and your own personality, your own words, your own style. Everybody has a different style. You have different languages that you possess. And that's all that happened at the time of Pentecost. And it's really quite simple what happened here. It was a huge occurrence. I mean, it was life-changing. It was world-changing. But the message of it is really quite simple. God sent his Son, Jesus, because he loved the world so much that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came to earth, fulfilled that message, right, of love, went to the cross, died for you and me. He rose from the grave, conquering death, and ascended into heaven and promised that the Holy Spirit would come, that he would bid the Father, and the Father would send the Holy Spirit, and they should wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Why? So that God would be in them, just like Jesus was with them. He would not leave them alone. Right? Jesus is, you know, and the Father, they're all in one, and so they're everywhere, and so it's not just the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just Jesus coming to earth by himself. He was representing God the Father and the Holy Spirit. But God's plan was to send his Holy Spirit to live within us so that we would then be his witnesses on earth. And one day we will be reunited with Jesus when he returns. And that is the message. God sent the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we would be empowered. There's no power on our own. The power of God living in us so that we can be his witnesses and share that with others. That's the Bible. That's the message of God's love for us. So that people are saved. So that people are given this salvation, right? And so at the beginning here, we hear all of that in this scripture you've heard already read to you, right? And they were asking, let us see the Father. Jesus is saying, you see the Father in me, right? You don't need, you can see the Father in me, and now we can see the Father in the Holy Spirit. And we can see Jesus in the Holy Spirit, and that's how it works, right? He said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. This is also part of the message the children have today, right? Believe the word of God, believe Jesus, believe what he was saying to them. And if you don't believe me, believe at least the works that I have. The works of God are the creation of fish. Right? And so when we have children going to an aquarium, we need to remind them who made the fish. We don't just look at, we want to see these wonderful beings and go to a zoo or go to all these different places or to a beautiful mountain, all these different places, but we remind people that that came from the hand of God. It's as simple as that, right? Praise God. I remember a friend of mine I used to work with at AT&T, John Lynn, and he went to Yosemite State Park for the first time, and he said, when my wife and I were driving through the park, I was just in so much awe. We just broke out in singing, How Great Thou Art. That is the fitting response of a Christian when they see great beauty. How great thou art. And that's why we sing songs, so that we're equipped in the moment when the Holy Spirit grips us and reminds us of how great God is, that we praise him and we sing out. It's so simple, such a simple message, and such a great, great God that we have that would let us see things like that. And so we can believe the word of God. We can believe someone who witnesses the word of God to us, or at the very least, we can believe through the things that we see that God has done, the works of God around us. In this case with Jesus, he had performed miracles. I was thinking about doing a children's message today just on thinking about, like, from the viewpoint of Jesus and talking to children today, not someone like a human being speaking to them, but it's really Jesus speaking through his word. And saying, one day I saw a man named Bartimaeus, and he was blind, and I was walking on, and I kept going, and he kept calling me and kept calling me, and then I went over to him, and I healed him. You know, Jesus saying that to us here in his word, I healed him, he could see. And that is a miracle. That is something to believe and to cause belief, because we see the greatness of God, to take what is blind and help it to see. Right? It's so simple, so beautiful, so easy to think about, you know, the things like to even to bend down and smell a flower. You know how I found that out today? That there was, you know, the beauty of the smell. It wasn't every week, but this week when I picked up the vase to bring upstairs, it was right in my face. So this carnation went right to my nose, and I was like, wow, that is so incredibly sweet smelling. You know, so I want to share that. I got to share that. And that's what we do. We smell the sweetness of Jesus. We smell the sweetness of God. And we say, oh, man, I got to share that. Amen? I got to share. This is too good to be for myself, you know. So simple. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Right? Not just believe in me and be saved. Good for you. It's you will do the works that I do. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Holy Spirit lives in us and gives us that power to do that. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Right? Greater works. And this opens up the whole world. Right? Jesus was living there in the Holy Land, and he was doing his ministry there, but he was a man, right? He was limited because of that, and it was on purpose. He could have gone anywhere, and there were times when he came back from the dead and he walked through walls, you know, to appear to the disciples. But this, he knew, and this was the plan of God, that the Holy Spirit would come in power so that those people who were all gathered that day in Pentecost, this was a Jewish festival day, and it was purposeful for God to bring this power of himself into these people, because there were people of many different languages gathered there. And when the power of the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak so that everyone who was there understood what they said in their own language. Right? And so that really is a great way for us to think about missions. Right? The mission field. What do people do when they go to the other places, you know, around the world? They begin to study that language so that they can relate to the people there, right? So that they can know what it is. So the people will hear their language being spoken. The one at Pentecost was a little bit different, but it really is that kind of a teaching here, that we are to go to people and share to all nations. And if you haven't already had the experience of speaking to someone in a foreign country in their own language, you've missed seeing how much that means to people when you're able to speak their language. But the real language that I believe that God wants us to focus on here, it goes beyond the tongue. You know, just as the flowers have a beauty and it speaks through that beauty, it's also twofold. It's through the smell. It's through the aroma. It's in that kind of a way too. And so God's power comes down to us, and it's not just in us speaking, because some of us can't speak, but it is a language of God called love. And it is the language of love that speaks most to people's hearts, because that is the one that God is. He is the language of love. He is love. And that is the way we have to develop in our Christian lives. You know, we grow up, we learn things to be in school, to know math and sciences, and we have different courses that we're expected to take in preparation for going out into the world to do things in that kind of a way, you know, to use those studies to be able to work. And it's the same with God. He gives us a foundation in his word. He gives us a foundation in learning how to love. And that is through Jesus loving us, the greatest example, knowing we are touched by him, that he has come and blessed us with his love, the love of the Father coming through him, dying on the cross, this great example to us, and saying, I believe. He came into my life because he really died for me. And no one can take that away from anyone. And so that's what we share with other people. But the other way that we share it is by exuding that love to people and saying, I gotta share this with you. Just like this beauty of a smell of a flower, I have to tell you about this because there's so much love in me now because God has given it to me. I need to give it to you. And God is compelling us, like Paul used to say, compels us. God's love compels us to react, to work, do his works, right? And then he said, whatever you do in my name, I'm going to the Father, and whatever you do, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so this brings in another aspect of our lives, and an important part of our growing up is to learn how to pray, right? To learn how to communicate with the Father and to talk with him. The initiation really comes from God, right? The initiation of his love toward us and what we and how to live comes from him. But our response, right, to that love is showing our sincerity, our belief in him, our faith in him. It's real. We don't just kind of see it as some sort of a subjective thing. It's really real, you know, and that exhibits itself in our lives. And I think that God wants us today to really take this time and think of it in a simple way, that he really needs us to engage with the Holy Spirit. Right? I might be saying that wrong, but it's an attempt. The Holy Spirit is very hard to, you know, understand in a lot of different ways, but we don't want to say it's too hard to understand, so I'm not going to think about it. You want to say, teach me. My heart is open. I don't know anything. That's the best place to start in any kind of situation. I want to learn. I want to learn from you. Show me the Holy Spirit. Teach me, Holy Spirit. I just want to open myself to you. I can't do anything myself, but I'm at your command. You are my Lord. And so please teach me what you want me to know about the Holy Spirit and what I can do for you. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? Right? An excellent way to begin life is by saying, what can I do to help? What can I do to serve? And why? Because it says that the Holy Spirit is the helper. Not because of what I can do, but what the Holy Spirit can do through me to help you to find peace in your life. Right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Remember last week we had two names for the Holy Spirit. You remember what one was? Spirit of wisdom, right? And the Spirit of revelation. So today we have the Spirit of truth. And it's all the same Spirit. But the Spirit of truth is very important in this world, isn't it? Because there is so much lying going on, right? People are weak. They don't have that grasp of what is true, what is real, right? But the Spirit of truth teaches us truth, right? It's dependable, it's trustworthy, it's things we can depend upon. They're all coming from God for our life. And so you can feel like you're let down by everybody in the face of the earth, but you know that the Spirit of truth is with you, and so you know truth. You know truth. The truth is also something that seeks the truth in us and cannot bear untruth, right? So if there's sin in our lives, the Spirit is not going to be able to really do much there. So we need to be honest. And so the Spirit, very lovingly, right? It says the Comforter, the Helper. The Helper in which way? Sure, you can be helped in a difficult situation so you're out of trouble. But the greatest trouble that we're in is when we're stuck in sin and in darkness, and the things that weigh us down. And so the Spirit of truth comes in and brings in that truth to reveal that in us so that we are free from it. And then we can, like the Bible talks about, we can bound in high places like animals that just have sure feet. The hooves, that they can have their grounding there because God is the truth and he's real in those people. Right? So we pray during our time here together to say, Lord, I confess my sins to you. Please look in my soul, look in my heart, and take away that sin, that thing that I'm holding on to, that I may not even really truly be aware of. Come in and forgive me of that sin and make me new so that I can be your child. I can really be your son, your daughter, and be your witness to all people as you called me to do it. Everyone here has a friend, or they have someone in their life that, you know, that is especially, you know, close, they're close to. And foster that relationship also. You know, foster it in the ways of God. You know, I've been reminded, you know, talking to other people about what they can do and giving advice and praying for them and things like that. But I also have to remind myself, I have children of my own. I need to talk to them about God. It's not like, okay, so now they're saved, so they can just, you know, they're good. You want to continue that relationship, especially with the ones that you're close to. And bring in God often to the equation, to the conversation, to your life, so that you can say to them, he's everything to me. And I want to use every moment that I have with you to be able to share him. You know, those Those are the, see how simple it is? Really coming back to the basic things and letting God, you know, develop those things in you. And so the Spirit of Truth is very helpful to bring out the things that God wants in us and to remove the things that are not good for us. I remember very clearly, I probably told you this, forgive me if I told you, but there was a guy who was a youth minister, and he was speaking at a retreat, and he said, I forget whether it was a son or a daughter, but the child, their child, was lying to them. You know? And when it came out, it always does, right? The truth always comes out. and we think it won't, but he said, I can deal with the truth. I can deal with the truth, but I can't do anything for you if you lie to me. That always impressed me, how important that is. It's a great truth. I can help you. I can help you if you tell me the truth, but I can't do anything for you if you lie to me. And that's the way Satan works. He brings in untruth and lies in our life to make us ineffective so that we can't do anything. We just keep in that lie. But God comes in, he said, I am the truth, and I need to hear the truth. And you can trust me. When I hear the truth, I'm going to love you and forgive you of that sin and make you new. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift from God that he's given us this message today. Jesus said, you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Take that in for a moment. The Holy Spirit. Know him, he dwells in you and will be in you. There was a guy that I read something by this week who said, it's not enough to say to someone, okay, now you're a child of God, you've converted, you've received the Holy Spirit is in you. He said that is true, perhaps, but it is that can't be enough for us. There's much more. We were talking about much more last week, right? We need to live in the Spirit. Right? We need to live in the Spirit. And there's a couple more verses here that we had added, but Jesus went on in this section in John. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring in your remembrance that all of that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit reminds us of what God's Word says, what Jesus says to us. So why? So that we can be effective. So that we can have lives that are abundant. And the things that Jesus taught are wonderful, wonderful lessons about life and love and the things that give us real meaning in our lives. Right? And then he goes on to say that, that peace I give, I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So they were going to be separated from Jesus. He was going to the Father, he was going to heaven to ascend back to receive glory. But he said, don't be anxious about it. And so that reminds us, okay, so we don't see Jesus. We can see a picture here in this wonderful stained glass window, but we know that Jesus is real because the Holy Spirit is in us and dwells in us. And so let's enjoy and celebrate that fact and live in the Spirit. Right? There's a couple other verses that I want to just share with you before we go to communion. And they're in your bulletin, if you want to pull out your bulletin. One of them is the memory verse. It's such a great verse. And Paul, in the book of Romans, it's so Spirit-filled. If Romans 5:5 says, it's on the under the announcements, the memory verse. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's a verse that you can share with people that don't have hope. Hope does not put us to shame. That means we have hope. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. One thing you can remember now about the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? Pours love into our hearts from God the Father, right? And Jesus Christ, all this love being poured into our hearts. So if you feel that you're lacking in love, then be encouraged today that God loves you and he pours his love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. And you could just say, Holy Spirit, fill me with the love of God today. I really need it. I'm down. Somebody said something to me or something's going wrong or I'm kind of concerned about this. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Give me that peace. Let me feel your peace today. Engage with him and pray with him. Pray to him, and he will give you that reassurance. And God's word living in us like this really makes a big difference. And then in the powerful words of Romans 8, it's a great book, a great chapter in Romans that is filled with the Spirit. It says, under the call to worship, that was today's call to worship, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And that means sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Right? And so fear is something the Holy Spirit can really deal with very well and replace that with the confidence of the hope that is poured into our hearts through the love of God. Right? Apply that to your situation. Whenever you come into a place where you're feeling uncertain, let the love of God come into you through the Holy Spirit. Remember that you are a son or a daughter of God, and you receive a spirit not of slavery to fear, right? Anybody feeling a slave to fear today, then claim the word of God here for you. It's right there for you. Not for fear, you didn't receive the Spirit for that. You received the Spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And that is the beauty of this. This is the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to not be afraid, but to cry out to God as a son, a daughter of his, and say, we are children of the living God. We have children of the living God. Fear? God understands when we have fear. Jesus must have had fear when he was looking at that cross. You know, I mean, to a certain extent, right? There's that kind. But God is letting us know we don't want to be slaves to it. Don't become slaves to fear, because we are triumphant, conquering people through the power of God working in us. Right? And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This verse really has meant a lot to me over the years and to other people I know, right? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so God's Spirit comes together with our spirit there and says they are children of God. They belong. Why? Because they believe. Because they have faith in the Father, because they know that he is the one who has saved them from death and sin and has brought them back together, one. And that is what we want to hold on to. I think I might make some hands like this to keep in front of me, you know, to make sure that I remember that I am to be one in the Spirit with God, that I don't want any part with the things in my life that used to make me feel so, you know, like, I mean, they were so attractive to me, that have no worth at all. You know, sinful things, dirty things. There's so much of that around. You would think, you know, it's almost like you see so much of it, you could get used to it, but don't believe that lie. Come to the Spirit of truth and know that you don't have to be caught up in that sin. You don't need to be caught up in those things that are tempting you away from God all the time. Can I hear an amen? Amen, right? We have victory through God, and it may not be immediate because we are sinful people and we go back to the things that are meaningless sometimes, and it's hard for us to understand, and then we get down, and then we might start thinking, oh, well, God would never want me. It's not true, right? We're not to be slaves to fear. And we're not to be slaves to the thought that we're not gonna ever stop doing this sin. The power of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, is there for the purpose of helping us to be more than conquerors. And the same Jesus who was brought out from the grave, the same power that brought Jesus from the grave is at work in us. So we don't think about our own willpower. Your willpower is only good to a certain extent. You need the Holy Spirit. Okay? So remember that. And you can also share that with people who suffer, thinking that they've sinned too much or, you know, they can't stop. God is there to help us to remember this today, that He is our helper to help us to conquer those sins that always bring us down. And then it gets even better. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Who are we? You can say, I'm an heir of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a child of God. I'm not perfect, but because of His great love for me poured out on the cross, I am now an heir of God. I'm in His family. Fellow heirs with Christ, my brother, which is crazy, but it's true. Fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be also glorified with Him. And so this last part here is important for us to remember. When we fully give ourselves over to Christ, there is going to be suffering. We don't all have to die. We don't have to be martyrs. It could be that we are called to that. But what we do is we die to our past life. We die to the sins that we've committed before. We want to have done with that. And so we ask God for His Holy Spirit to come in and cleanse us from those desires. It's not the desire of the flesh. We were reading this week in the lectionary, not the desires of the flesh, but we desire the Spirit of God. And those things that are together with that, we can remember very joyfully what are the fruit of the Spirit. We can end with this on a joyful note and an encouraging note. Can we say them? Joy, love. Wait. Can you say it louder? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Okay, so we can we can take out the Bible and read those, okay? But keep those handy. And remember that those are the things that you want to do each day, right? You want to remain in the Spirit. We want to connect to God in those kind of ways. But those are all they're not just merely words. They are God. They are God. They are God's gift. They are things coming from Him. They are things that He gives to us to practice in our lives, okay? And so let's prepare now for communion in that light, thinking about all of those wonderful things that we are going to practice, the gifts of the Spirit in our lives, in preparation for communion and the celebration of our Savior, Jesus Christ.